Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
How big is your God? Have you ever stopped long enough to really contemplate that question? How big is the God you say you worship? When I was growing up, I heard all kinds of amazing stories about this God that we worship. How this God created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in it. God's call and promises to Abraham. How God caused the releasing of the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. Maybe you've heard about the 10 plagues. Did you realize those 10 plagues, each one of those plagues is an attack of God saying, I am greater than the God that you are worshiping that this plague is attacking. God is greater. God is bigger. God is God. God using Moses to part the water of the Red Sea. And the whole nation walked across, not on muddy ground or soggy ground or damp ground. It was dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to cross through there as well, and their horses and chariots, God caused the waters to come back together and they drowned. I could go on and on and on about how awesome and great and miraculous this God of ours is. But knowing all those stories, there were times I thought, well, yes, but God is out there. And I am here. God didn't seem really personal to me. Ever felt that way? Ever wanted, God, would you just talk to me? I have this decision to make. Do I do this or this? Just go ahead. Just tell me what to do. I want to do what you want me to do. Now, I never thought God would actually talk to me. I mean, who was I? You can find my story in the Old Testament book that bears my name, Jonah. And the time when God spoke to me, and here's how my story begins. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, you might think I'd be excited that God spoke to me. Other prophets speak with excitement when God called them, saying things like, I have called you, I will be with you, I will tell you what to say, I will protect you. But I was not excited when God spoke to me. Because God went on to say, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. You want me to go to Nineveh and preach to them? God, those are our enemies. We don't like them. They do horrible things. God, I want you to punish them. They deserve punishment. Now, you have to understand, I wasn't afraid of them per se, but they were cruel and wicked people. When they would go to battle with another nation, and they would win, those who were left alive would be lined up, and they would have large fish hooks with a little spike on the end, pounded through their noses with a rope on the other end of that fish hook, and led back into captivity so they wouldn't escape. These were awful people. I didn't want to go and preach to them. So I said no. I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to go a different direction. My thinking was, if I don't go, then maybe God will just call somebody else, if he's that serious about this. Or maybe God will come to his senses and realize, you know, Jonah probably is right. They are bad people. I should punish them. But I was going to sit around and find out. So I went down to the city of Joppa along the shore there, and I booked passage on a ship, heading as far away as I could get, It's from modern day, what you know as southern Spain. It was the way. I booked passage, and I got on, and we sailed away, and I thought, great, I am out of here. But even though I ran from God, God did not run from me. And as I got there and went down below deck, because running away from God is tiring work. I was tired, so I went down below deck, found a place where I could lay down, and I went to sleep. And I slept like a baby. That really isn't a good term, because if you heard babies sleep, there are times. Anyway, I slept soundly. But after a while, God sent a storm. I mean, it was a ferocious storm, a fierce storm. And even these seasoned sailors were terrified. I mean, they'd been through storms. They understood storms. But this thing was beyond what they had seen before. And in fact, the captain himself realizing we're going to sink if we don't get rid of some of this cargo. They began to throw some of that cargo overboard. And as they went below deck, Kevin went below deck looking for more things to throw over. He found me sleeping. He was not happy. He began to yell, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Wake up and call upon your God." And he shook me and he grabbed me, pulls me up and starts pushing me up onto the deck. Well, those sailors decided we need to cast lots and see whose fault this thing is. Well, I knew whose fault this was, but I wasn't going to say anything. But then the lot fell on me. Oh, the question. What have you done? Where are you from? What people group do you belong to? I said, I am a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the land and the sea. Well, what have you done to make him mad? Now, when I booked my passage and got my ticket, I may have mentioned I was running from something, but I didn't say from what or from whom. But they wanted to know, why, how did you anger your God? I said, well, they said, what can we do to save our lives? I said, if you throw me overboard, your lives will be spared. Well, they didn't want to do that. They got the big oars out and tried to row toward the closest land that they knew of, but it was simply too big of a storm. The wind was just howling against that ship. The ship was being rocked as if it was a toy on that ocean. Nothing was working. And finally, the sailors came over to me, and they picked me up, offered a quick prayer. Oh, God of Jonah, please hold us responsible for this man's life, and they threw me overboard. Now, I need to stop for a moment because I'm going to tell you two incredible things that happened that you're not going to believe because they're impossible to believe, which is why I began with the question in my story, how big is your God? Because when they threw me overboard, I took a deep breath because they never taught us to swim where I'm from. I hit that water and that storm stopped. I didn't say the storm made them calm down. No, that storm instantly stopped. Only movement was that ship from the momentum it had from the storm slowly went away from me. I learned later the fact that storm stopped instantly was more terrifying to them than the storm itself. What kind of a God did that man worship who can stop a raging storm in an instant? Some of those men made vows to my God. Some of those men made sacrifices to my God. They had never, ever seen anything like that before in their lives. Well, as they sailed away and I began to sink, I thought, well, their lives are spared and I guess I am off the hook. You've read the story. Suddenly, I became the hook. As I hold my breath, I see something dark and big below me begin moving toward me. And all of a sudden, this huge mouth opened up and swallowed me whole. And I let out a scream and thinking, that goes on my breath. A second incredible thing happened. Not only was I swallowed whole by this fish, I had air to breathe inside the belly of that fish. How big is your God? So there I am, inside the belly of this fish. It is so dark I can't see my hand in front of my face. It is slimy. It smells. I have seaweed wrapped around my head. And I'm thinking, wonderful. I'm going to slowly be digested by this fish and have a slow, painful death. Or maybe the fish will open its mouth to eat something and water will come in and I'll be drowned. But what I realized the most was I didn't want to die like this. Oh, not inside the fish. No. Being estranged from God. So inside that fish, the only thing I could, I prayed. Now, I didn't bargain with God. Oh, God, if you save me, I'll do anything you want. I'll even go to Africa and serve you. That's not what I did. I simply prayed, oh, God, please forgive me. Forgive me for running from you, for ignoring you. I'm sorry. I am truly and deeply sorry. And inside the belly of that fish, where I couldn't see a thing and it stunk and it was slimy and there was seaweed around, the peace of God washed over me like I can't explain. And I knew I had been forgiven. And I thought, okay, when I die in a little bit, I will at least be at peace with God. And I just laid there because there wasn't anything else to do. And I thanked God for his faithfulness, his goodness, being near to me. Now, some time passed. I learned later it was 3 days and 3 nights I was in the belly of that fish. But I began to feel a sense that we were moving. We began to move up and then kind of leveling off and then up and leveling off. And all of a sudden, opened his mouth and I could see some daylight out there. And all of a sudden, he just threw me up on the beach. I thought, I'm free. Woo! I'm alive. This is great, but I am a mess. So I went back in, not too far. I'm not sure if that fish is still out there looking for the one that got away. But I began to wash myself and get clean because I was a slimy mess. Went up on the shore then and found a place I could sit down and just kind of dry off and relax because that was tiring work. An amazing thing happened. God spoke to me again. Go to the city of Nineveh. Proclaim the message I give you. Not only did God forgive me and rescue me, God wants to use me again. Incredible. I obeyed. I went. I found out where I was. And I began the long journey to the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, big, big city. It took me 3 days to walk from the edge of town to the center of the city. Along the way, I began to preach the message God gave me. 40 more days, and God will destroy this city. You need to repent. People began to repent. And they cry out to God for help. The king himself heard of my message, and he took off his royal robes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and sat in the dust on the ground. And he issued a decree which said, everyone, even your animals, do not eat or drink. But perhaps God will see our changed hearts and our promise to change our wicked ways, our lives, and he will not punish us as we deserve. Now, you might think I would be overjoyed with that because God called me, God sent me, God gave me a message, and they repented. I was angry. This is why I didn't want to go. I didn't want them to repent. I wanted God to punish them for all the pain and suffering they had caused other people. They didn't deserve God's forgiveness. And I was so angry, I just began to stomp out of that city. And I left the city, I went up onto a hill just outside on the east side of the city, and I sat down there thinking, perhaps they don't really mean it. Perhaps they're not going to change their ways. And God may yet punish them as they rightly deserve, and I can be here to watch it. And I prayed, God, this is why I didn't want to come. Because I know you are a God who is patient and forgiving of those who turn to you and call upon your name seeking repentance. Why are you angry, Jonah? And I was so angry at them and at God, I didn't even respond. I just sat there in that hot sun and waited. One morning I woke up, and there behind me I saw a big vine had grown. Now, this was common to that area, a big vine to have big leaves, but not common to have it grow overnight. But there was this vine right there with big leaves, and I put myself under it. I could get almost all of me out of the sun, and I thought, okay, this may not be as bad as I thought, waiting here in this nice shade of this vine. The next morning when I got up, I looked at the vine and it looked a little, well, it wasn't as green as it was the day before. I looked down by the root there at the base of the stalk, and there I saw a worm had almost eaten all the way through that vine. And as the sun, hot sun rose and that hot east wind began to blow, one good gust came and that vine snapped off and away it tumbled. And I was left in the hot, hot sun and the hot, hot wind, and I just wanted to die. And God said, Jonah, why are you upset about that vine? Do you have a right to be upset? I said, I do have a right to be upset. I have that right. And God, in his patience, his abundant patience and love, said, Jonah, did you plant that vine? Did you take time to water that vine? Did you do anything to cultivate that vine and help it grow? And of course, the answer to those three questions was, no, I did not do any of those things. God said, Jonah, look down below there. You see the city of Nineveh? In that city are over 120,000 people who just a few days ago didn't know their right hand from their left. Did not know how to find my grace and forgiveness and mercy and love. And now they know. They discovered it. Should I, Jonah, not be more concerned about those people's eternal lives than I do about some vine that's here today and gone tomorrow? You see, I liked God's forgiveness and mercy and grace for me and my people. But I didn't care about him doing his grace and mercy and peace for people who were different than us. You see, as I ran from God, my life kept going downhill. I went down to the city of Joppa, down to the bottom of that ship, down to the belly of a fish and down to the depths of the sea. I kept going down, 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 not realizing it, what was happening in my life. You see, when we are so focused on ourselves, at times we don't think about other people. People who may be hurting. People may be searching for answers and don't know where to go or who to ask. But we don't care because they're different from us. God has given us, his people, a message of reconciliation. God wants to use us to help come alongside people and build bridges of friendship to let them know how they can find God's peace. How it can change not only their life, but maybe for generations to come in that family. But if we, God's people, don't tell them, who will? Who will? Are you walking with God or running from God? It's not too late to seek his forgiveness because God is so patient and so loving and so kind. And how might God want to use you in this new year to come alongside and build bridges of friendship with people who are missing from God's family? How might God want to use you, the people you live next door or go to work with or school with? Might God want to use you to build that bridge and make a kingdom difference? You see, how big is your God? Big enough to change a person's heart and life? He is. He really is. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are an awesome and amazing God. And we recognize at times, God, we just forget of what you ask of us. But God, as we seek forgiveness, Lord, use us, we pray, to help bring that message to those around us who may be searching but don't know who to ask. Help us not be obnoxious, but God, just build bridges of friendship and listen to their hearts and to their hurts. Give us the words to say that offers hope and help, God, and healing. Use us, O Lord, and forgive us for our stubbornness. We are sorry. Use us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.